Today, we begin a new sermon series based on the New Testament book of Philippians. The theme of this series is Journey into Joy. Today is also Youth Sunday, as we recognize and celebrate our 6 high school graduates. So the application and the teaching of the text today is directed towards our graduates. But I encourage all of you to listen, to lean into and learn, and consider how these verses can be understood and applied in your own life, as together we journey into joy. El, Marin, Lana, Bantu, Kezia, and Hannah, this sermon is for you. It's intended to be a personal and a pastoral word for you and about you. Today we honor and celebrate you, and Bellingham Covenant Church offers to you on this day a blessing that both the church that has gathered as well as the church that has scattered throughout the centuries has shared with each other. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This blessing recognizes that the best that we can offer each other at any time is God's grace and peace. Grace is God's favor of us. It is our unearned, unconditional love and acceptance by Him. We also offer the blessing of God's peace. The peace that we receive from God is not just the absence of conflict from the outside, that is, the chaos and the confusion in our world, or even the absence of inner conflicts around our feelings and the struggles and the turmoils and challenges within us, but a deep, abiding peace. God's peace, God's best for you. The word peace in the Hebrew language is shalom, and it carries with it the meaning of well-being, of health, of wholeness, of salvation. And I was reminded this past week that peace in Scripture is not just about an individual, but a community. It's not just about me, but us. One biblical professor said that it really has this sense of a circle. It means a communal community sense of well-being in every direction and in every relation. Like a circle, and the person inside that circle is related justly to every point in the circumference of the circle. So today, imagine yourself standing in the center of a circle, maybe even in this room, surrounded by your family and your friends. Look around. Who do you see looking at you? All of the attention of your family and your church family surrounding you. Their attention is on you. And all of us in that circle are seeking God's best for you. No matter which way you turn, someone is there for you. You are not alone. When we say grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saying that we want to surround you and support you with our love and God's best. A friend of mine used to end his worship service with this prayer. As you go on your way, Jesus is going with you, above you to watch over you, beneath you to support you, behind you to encourage you, before you to show you the way, and beside you as a friend, and within you to give you peace. Why is Jesus doing this? Because He's crazy about you. And the Apostle Paul says that there are 2 ways that we can seek God's best for you. We can give God thanks for you, and we can pray for you. We read, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Graduating from high school is a special occasion. It's a day of thanksgiving and joy in your life, but it isn't the only time and the only reason to give thanks and to celebrate your presence in our life. I remember when our son was 18 and graduating from high school, My wife said that she felt about him like she did when she was 9 months pregnant with him. After all of the stretching and kicking and moving, he was ready to get out, and she was ready for him to get out. We celebrate you today because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Over the past several years, you have been more than a participant in the life of Bellingham Covenant Church. You have been a partner. And these are some of the ways that Pastor Jeff has said that you have partnered with BCC. Some of you have marked your life as a follower of Jesus by being baptized. All of you have been on a mission trip, both regionally and globally. You've gone to San Francisco in Sweden. You've led in worship services. You've served in the sound booth and tech booth for worship services. You've volunteered in the nursery. You've shared your testimony. You've worked to raise funds for mission trips by doing yard work and mowing. You've shared your talents and brought joy as well as laughter to us in your singing and dancing. In so many ways, you have shown yourself to be a partner in faith and action. We appreciate you. Paul prays, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And while you're graduating from high school, that doesn't mean that you're done partnering and serving Christ. Paul's prayer is the same as our prayer for you. It isn't just that we are praying that Christ complete the work of the gospel in your life, but that you complete your work for the gospel in your life. One of the phrases that is used to describe a graduation ceremony is commencement exercise. It's the starting of something. And the Apostle Paul says in this verse to his friends in faith that our ultimate hope of completion and accomplishment is not our work, but Christ's. Our primary sense of accomplishment and success should be his work, not ours. And we are to live and hope that way until he returns. I know that this has been a strange end to your high school experience. For months, you've been sheltering in place and been away from many of your friends. And so many of the events that should have occurred in your senior year have been canceled or have gone virtual. Your grandparents and others couldn't come to your graduation ceremony. The after-graduation party with your friends has either been canceled or delayed, and maybe a special trip has had to be postponed. Your senior year has been interrupted and can leave you feeling that it is unfinished and incomplete. I read this proverb. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Or another version puts it this way: "It's sad not to get what you had hoped for, but wishes that come true are like eating fruit from the tree of life." The wonderful promise in this verse in Philippians is that this isn't the end. This isn't all there is to our life. God isn't done with us and his creative work in us. There's more. The good work that God has begun in you will be completed in his time and in his way. And you will never be alone in that journey. You have the hope and the help because you're being held in the hearts of those who love you and care about you. Paul writes, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me, and God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." In the coming months and years, you will leave home and establish your own home, whether at school or elsewhere. And while you will enjoy the freedom and the independence of being on your own, you could also feel lonely and isolated. As hard as it has been in recent months for you to stay at home or to shelter in place, imagine how much harder it would have been if you didn't have family or friends to share this time with you now. The Apostle Paul offers this commitment to his friends. I have you in my heart, and I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, over the years, volunteer leaders such as Donna and Justin and Andrew, Megan, Jacob and Amy, and certainly Pastor Jeff have all held you in their hearts, and they will continue to do so. We remember you and give thanks to God for you. You will be held in our hearts. And all of us should really ask ourselves, who has held me in their heart? And who am I now holding in my heart? We pray for you because we want God's best for you. Paul writes, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Because we want God's best for you, we will pray for you, El, Marin, Lana, Bantu, Kezia, Hannah. We want your love for Jesus and one another to abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. And we pray that that will happen in two ways. First, through a faith-filled life of knowing what you believe. And secondly, through a fruit-filled life. That is how you live out your life for Jesus, how you will behave, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. One of the things I know that you're grateful to be done with and over with, at least for a while, is tests. You've had pop quizzes and midterms and final exams. And the Apostle Paul uses a word in these verses that speaks of a test. But it's not a temporary test for a class or a term at school. It is a test for life, a test for a faith-filled life. When Paul says, so that you may be able to discern, he really is saying so that you can test or determine what is real and true and genuine. And for us, it is a way of saying to you, we want you to be able to determine what is right and what your priorities should be and what should really matter in your life. It is a test to determine what is true. In the ancient world, they spoke of the sunshine test. You would hold up a piece of pottery to the light and to see if there were any cracks in it. In fact, our word sincere comes from that practice of holding something up so that to the light so that we could see if there are any cracks or flaws in it. Paul is saying, we want you to hold up a doctrine, a philosophy, a theology, to see if there's any fault or flaw in it. Up to this point throughout your life, there have been many people who have told you what to do, think, and what is important, what matters. Your parents, teachers, pastors, and the leaders have all been speaking into your life. Now, in a very real sense, you need to determine what you value. That is, what is important to you and what you know to be true. How does it compare with the truth of Scripture and Jesus? I was listening to a nationwide broadcast a couple of weeks ago for honoring high school graduates, and former President Barack Obama spoke that night. I don't know if you saw that or not. But in that speech, he said, what remains true is that your graduation marks your passage into adulthood. the time when you will begin to take charge of your own life. It's when you get to decide what's important to you, the kind of career you want to pursue, who you want to build a family with, the values you want to live by. And that's really what the Apostle Paul is saying in this verse. It will be up to you to test and approve, decide and determine how you will live as you seek to discern how to live a faith-filled life according to God's values and priorities, those things that are pure and blameless. And the second part of our prayer for you is that you will live a fruit-filled life that is well-lived for Jesus. That is, how will you live? How will you behave? Remember Proverbs 13:12? It's sad not to get what you hope for, but wishes that come true are like eating fruit from the tree of life. When we want God's best for ourselves and others, it is like eating from the tree of life, the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. The meaning here is that we want your life to produce a good crop. And that comes from your connection with Jesus, producing fruit from his good work in your life. I like the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. He writes, "But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely." Paul concludes these verses with, "To the glory and the praise of God." And so, El, Marin, Lana, Bantu, Kezia, and Hannah, our prayer for you today began with a blessing of grace and peace as we surround you and support you. And we give thanks to God for you and pray that you will have both a faith-filled and a fruit-filled life, living to the glory of praise of God. And that really is all we could ask for anyone. Each one of you are deeply loved by God and are special to your family, to your friends, and to this church. May you always know and believe that you are loved, that you belong, and that there is a place for you. Again, I like the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases Galatians 5, 25 to 26. And I invite you to join me, and let's read these verses out loud together. "Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original." Amen, and may God bless you.